if you want to.
All right, recording in process. Okay, we're gonna go through the book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. And David had asked how many chapters we'd probably get through today, and I said maybe through the, I actually had the wrong word. It's through the preface. We might get through the preface. I doubt it, but we probably will try to get through that. So again, as you guys know, the way I teach, if you ever have any questions I don't cover, areas I don't cover, let me know and we'll talk about it. But otherwise, I'll probably just be covering stuff I've got super highlighted here, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Okay.
Okay,
Sounds
who'd like to
good.
lead us in prayer?
I can
I
do
will.
that. No, go ahead, Justin.
Thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you for the breath that you've breathed into us. Thank you for the small things that we so frequently overlook. Thank you that you've given us family, that you've given us direction, that you've given us just inspiration to do your will. I thank you for that whisper, that quiet voice, and that loud voice that you speak with us sometimes. And I just thank you for the family that we have here. I pray that you would be in our midst, that you would guide and direct the conversation however you see fit. And again, we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 And again, we're here because we want the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're going to be looking at different things, but we're not just getting it for knowledge. We're getting it to apply it into our lives so the Lord can continue to use us in different ways. And maybe when the class part is over, if Robert, if you'll be the timekeeper, since you know how long we have to be able to use this before it cuts us off. After class time's over, maybe we can talk about some things going on. I don't know if Robert told anybody else about his test today, and I told David a story about my trip to Tennessee. I'd love to share with you, but we'll do that stuff later. Okay, if you're on the preface, go to page, well, on my
Oh, yeah.
Kindle. Oh, my Kindle doesn't say what page because I'm not on the pages yet. Okay. On the preface, probably the first or second page. He had said the cause of the distressed human condition, individual and social, and its only possible cure is a spiritual one. And I love what he says down there, a couple of sentences. And amid a flood of techniques for self-fulfillment, okay, which I know he's dead now, but it's amazing how much of this stuff is still so true today. There's an epidemic of depression, suicide, personal emptiness, escapism through drugs and alcohol, cultic obsession, consumerism, and sex and violence, all combined with an inability to sustain deep and enduring personal relationships. And to add to that, in social media nowadays, it's amazing a person can have 400 followers and friends or thousands social media and yet not have a be a friend with any of them. You know, I mean, look around us. People don't know how to make friendships anymore since COVID shut everybody behind walls for so long. And I know they use that for an excuse in the church, and there is no excuse for it in the church. Because as a body of Christ, man, we should be open, loving one another, as Jesus said, and just bringing people into that love. They'll be attracted to the love. So, but against all this, it says, so obviously the problem is a spiritual one, and so must be the cure. Okay, now this next part I'm going to read a little bit and we're going to talk about it. But if the cure is spiritual, how does modern Christianity fit into the answer? And he says, very poorly, it seems. For Christians are among those caught up in the sorrowful epidemic just referred to. And that fact is so prominent that modern thinking has come to view the Christian faith as powerless, even somehow archaic, at the very least, irrelevant. Man, how do we speak of that as part of the church? That was a question. You all are supposed to answer it.
Answer.
I'm not reading anymore until I get some answers.
Yeah.
Well, unless we have personal relationships with each other, we don't solve any of the problems. So first you have to have it with God, but if you're not then in a real relationship, you don't have a relationship. So the average person on social media spends 15 seconds. How can you develop a relationship in 15 seconds?
How do
So,
you even know what a relationship is if it isn't for God stepping in and even using people that are willing to put themselves on the line or in the view of people, kind of like what Chaplin did for us. We didn't have anybody that would show that lifestyle of what love or relationship even is. So, I mean, unless you're going to be that person who has those healthy tools, boundaries, just a general lifestyle, once you're learning that and you have faith in God and you live it out, you see the need for it in other people. And it's kind of like a snowball. I mean, once you start living it and you see the need for it in other people, you became the same person that stepped in for you.
I see it too, like when you look at Adam and Eve in the garden and the way that Satan used them to look at themselves, like, did God really say he's holding out on you? You know what I mean? Like, did he really say you can't eat that apple? You know, and they got so fixed on the one thing they weren't supposed to have because they were looking at themselves. And it's kind of like joy. Whenever you put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last, then you're really fulfilled. But when you put yourself first, nobody's really filled. So it's like when people go to drugs and alcohol and all these different things because they're so focused on their suffering and their selves, you know, you can fill yourself up with all this stuff, but you're still going to be just as tormented, if not worse, whenever you come down. You know what I mean? Like it just adds to the problem.
And it only fulfills in that moment. But yeah, as soon as that moment is over, you're left more empty, more secluded,
More depressed,
more
more
depressed,
depleted.
more angry. That was the one that got me, was I was angry at everything, everybody. You might not necessarily see it, but on the inside, I mean, heck, I was angry with myself. It wasn't until just the past couple of years that I even learned it's not okay to put yourself down. It's not okay to attack yourself, let alone attack somebody else. But it really goes into the what you're searching for. Is it lasting? Is it that water that satisfies? Is it the water that will quench your thirst?
And the way it says that Christianity or Christians are among those caught up in this sorrowful epidemic just referred to, I think the average Christian really is just a name only. You know, like they say, like, I'm a Christian, but they don't really have the fruits.
Thanks. You just answered a question I was going to ask. Yeah, where he
Yeah.
says, how does modern Christianity fit in the answer? I think we have to define what modern Christianity or Christianity is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I love watching 28:19. I just love the preacher there. And one of the things he talked about that today that I was looking at, and we can have a title Christian and not have the Holy Spirit in us at all. And I think that's why how he defines modern Christianity are those who go to church, they do all the right church stuff, But I used to always say they wouldn't know Jesus if he walked in down the aisle, or through Walmart in a white robe or whatever. Justin. But yeah, I mean, as we define Christianity, we really have to define what that is, because you're right. So many people in America, at least, call themselves Christians, and they have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They have no idea what it means. They know what it means to go to church and follow the rules. Yeah.
Or even if that, I mean, they say they're a Christian just because they like our values, but they're still getting drunk every night. They're still sleeping around. They still cuss like a sailor. They're still stealing or lying, or you can murder without actually having to put to death somebody. I mean, just in how you speak to them or speak about them to other people. But so often people are just like, yeah, I see it almost on a daily basis. Oh, I'm Christian. And it's like, but I'm seeing the way you live. And that doesn't, it's not meshing with what you're saying. You're saying the sky is blue and the grass is green and I'm wearing an orange shirt. Well, you might be wearing an orange shirt and those other things might be true, but you're behaving in a way that doesn't line up with that. And I mean, it kind of goes back into are you getting filled by what you're supposed to get filled by? If you're in the Word, if you're truly searching after what God wants in your life, things change. It might never be according to the way or the time we want it to, but there is a change
It comes
almost.
down,
Yeah.
sorry, Justin. It comes down to the fight that we're all in, the fight of flesh, our
The
flesh.
world, the flesh, and the devil.
Excuse me. Yes. Thank you very much. We're all fighting that fight, and we're not discipling the Christians that come in to Christianity in the first place. And if we did that, and just walk with them, just like Chaplin did with me. After I got out of jail, I thought I'd, start over. I pushed the reset button, and he's out there fishing. Mom told me, go out there and see Chaplin, or go out there and see Doug. I walked out there and said, you're not Doug. And from that point in time, he's walking with me in everyday life. And the things that he would do, show me from his life and show me from what we did, made so much more of a difference to me in my life than someone just saying, look, here's what we do. You take this, take that, accept this, accept that, get baptized. There you go. You're a Christian. Go on your way. Do good. I think that's the church's downfall. I really do.
Yeah, I
If
agree. I remember in seminary, we talked about that. We have an open door. People are coming in the front door. Well, just come get saved and baptized, and you're good. And they're going out the back door as fast as they're coming in the front door because we're not discipling them. I mean, we're not teaching them, hey, you're a new babe in Christ. You don't stay the same. It's just what's talking about because a babe matures and grows. As we mature and grow in our faith, we decide we want to be more like Jesus. So the more we want to be like him, the less we're going to be like the world and be controlled by the flesh. But you're right. If the churches just say, well, come in and get saved and get baptized and you're going to heaven, no worries. And we don't disciple people. What do you expect? I mean, they're babes that have been left alone by themselves, not being fed, no maturity.
Or take it to the other extreme, and the church is breathing hellfire and brimstone, and people don't want to be condemned. And I think there's a difference in conviction and condemnation. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the way you met us right where we were at. You didn't preach condemnation to us. You know, you allowed the Holy Spirit to do that. And the more you're around people that are like-minded, or you're growing to be more like-minded like, the more you're going to want to let go of those sins because it's Jesus doing the convicting. And I think also a lot of people just want that quick fix. You know what I mean? And like being discipled or things like that. Not everybody's in it for the right reasons. They just want that
fire.
Quick fix. Let me. What?
Fire insurance.
Yeah.
Fire insurance.
Yeah. Fire insurance. Yeah. And so I think there's a lot of things, but I think having an example that somebody's like obedient enough to listen, because Chaplin didn't get anything out of discipling us. You know, that was like just the blessing of seeing us grow. You know, he didn't get paid to do that or anything. You know what I mean? So it's like he was in it for the right reasons.
Well, I think it's kind
is
of like.
Is he on here still? Cause it,
yes.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
No, David was
you're
last
still
on the top. So we see.
Okay.
What was I saying?
I was saying.
Oh, yeah. So it's like whenever Chaplin was walking with us and we started to see how we're supposed to live, how a relationship is supposed to function, that was whenever I can't speak for Bree, but whenever I started to feel true satisfaction in certain things that used to, I knew was supposed to bring satisfaction or gratitude, or these were things that I had emulated but never truly felt. So whenever I started living my life with a, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? I knew the example and I knew why I was supposed to do what I was doing. Not just because I saw other people do it, but now I understood.
Can I help you out? Can I help you out with that? It goes from being told what to do and how to do it, and sitting there as a new person in Christ going, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, to seeing Chaplin do it or seeing someone do it with you and having an experiential experience and understanding it within yourself. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, because like whenever my initial conversion, I felt different. I had a desire for different. And in a lot of ways, there was a lot of differences in our life, but there was still a disconnect as to human. I understood the spiritual side of it because I never looked at Father God the same way I looked at my father on earth. But I didn't understand human emotions or how to convey them or what certain things were. I'd never felt them. I was so closed off to them. And I mean, honestly, I believe that God left it like that in preparation for someone to come into my life to show me a truer version of these human things. Because I mean, we had plenty of great examples, but none that were willing to walk beside and say, here, hold my hand, let's
do
go
life.
Do this. Yes.
Yeah. Well, me and Chaplin didn't get that close, but we know what you mean.
Yeah,
he just hit you upside
the head. Like Jeremy and Robert.
True love.
Oh, you like that? Like this, us, we've become a family. Through our struggles, through our friendship, and through discipleship, we've all, in one way or another, been going through something that he's been growing us in and needed family, needed community that we can trust. And we've come together and become so close that we would walk up to one another and just like, I need a hug, brother. I'm struggling, you know, and feel comfortable saying that to one another and elaborating on it and knowing that we're safe with one another. I think that's what God puts in us as Christians. And even deeper, I think we can relate to each other as Christians when you find a true Christian.
Oh, yeah. Because I mean, it's like just like with us versus Chaplin. Chaplin never went to jail. He never ran around gangs. Never. I mean, heck, mine and Bree's childhood being raised in just the absolute one of the worst sides of Oklahoma.
But we were so good, we took that upon ourselves to show him what that felt like and looked like.
And most of the time he's like
You're crazy. I don't know what I was getting into. I
to still show love and listen, it's kind of like I know there's a bunch of I don't know what they're called, memes going around where it's couples or parents and children. We listen and we don't judge. The reason why all your silverware went missing, I threw it in the trash. But Chaplin showed it in real life. I'm gonna listen to you and I don't judge you for what you've done in your life or where you're at, but I'm gonna show you love. And that was totally foreign to me. I mean, what's this love?
That's what I mean by when you find a true Christian, not just someone trying to get fire insurance, your spirit will connect to theirs because you're really in the family of God. And that's you can feel that love, you can feel that trust. Sometimes, don't get me wrong, feelings are dangerous because sometimes feelings aren't there at all, you know.
And while you say that, I want to cut in. Sorry, David, I don't mean to cut you off, but
No, go
this is
ahead.
like exactly what I was wanting to share too. It's kind of like how you say feelings can't be trusted. It's kind of like right now I'm struggling with like if I lose my mom to cancer, like my emotions are all over the place. But to see the way Chaplin handled losing his dad and how he didn't even cry because he knows where he's going. And being able to, even though I came from somewhere that didn't teach me the tools of how to process or handle emotion, I can see somebody that had that. You know what I mean? So in the muck of it, I can remember, it doesn't have to be painful. It can actually be beautiful. And thank God I know where she's going. You know what I mean? So yeah, it hurts to lose somebody you love. But to see somebody be able to handle those emotions differently,
Healthy.
healthy, like it really helps.
Oh yeah, and we know now where to take our emotions and where to leave them. We're not built to handle those kind of emotions. We're built for the garden and stuff like that. We weren't built with that capacity, so we know he's always there for us to leave our emotions with him at the foot of the cross and let him deal with them and go on about our lives and have his peace. You know what I'm saying? It's we're still human. We're still gonna have pain and we're still gonna get tired here and there, but in the end, we know what to do with our emotions. You know, now.
And I know that to base our choices off of emotion is not right. But for me to feel emotion and to see my wife hurt and it hurt me, I feel brings us closer because I never knew what empathy was. I never knew what compassion was. I didn't know what those things were. And in Chaplain teaching me, teaching us, walking beside us, showing us how a Christian is supposed to live, and that emotions in of themselves are not wrong. That's why Jesus says, be angry and sin not. It's okay to feel anger. It's
And even he
okay.
cried when Lazarus died.
And these emotions aren't bad, but what we do with them and how we show them makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
Amen, brother. Sometimes we can't put it into words. Sometimes it's like he says in the Bible, just coming alongside a brother and sitting down and crying when they cry, and just sitting in silence with them. Yeah.
just not
Well,
silent right
one
no, isn't
thing.
it? Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Robert.
What I think is wrong with the church is it's become a pharisaical law-based organization, which has structured in such a format that only 10% of the population can attend or less. And if it was love-based, like Christ love-based, then you'd have 90% that want to attend because they're feeling the connection with love. And that doesn't mean there's no laws, but when you go to church and they say if you've had anything go wrong in your life, you're destined for hell, that sits and triggers an unopen communication. If you went to AA and they said, if you've made a mistake this week, you're going to hell. That would destroy the trust and capability of someone to get help. And I
Yeah.
believe that trust has been broken by the church.
Oh yeah, in a big way. You're not wrong, definitely.
So we're not following Christ in the church, and that's the problem. We're wanting to be popular. We're going to have a lot of people follow us, but we're not willing to be connected and share open and vulnerable things about ourselves and be reliant upon Christ for our righteousness. And I think that's where we need to head in order to have people believe that they want to be a Christian. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's funny. We were at a church here, and I'd look at a guy come in and sit down by us. We'd get there early, try to meet people. Nobody ever came to talk to us, hundreds of people there. And he'd sit on our row about eight rows down. I walked down to him, I go, "You new here?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Come sit with me." "Okay." And I said, "Anybody greet you when you came in?" He goes, "No." I just sit here by myself. I don't know what I was going to do, And we went and checked out two other churches. Same thing. I mean, not one person except people at the door who are supposed to go, "Hi, good to have you here." Well, that's not getting to know me. That's not taking time to greet me. Time we sat down and left, not a person talked to us in the other two churches either. I'm like, "Okay, God, we're going to go back to the first church, and I'm taking that up as my ministry. I'm going to start meeting so many people every Sunday morning, making them feel welcome, ask them if they go here." And the pastor even told me that. He came around, he goes, "I don't want anybody to feel unwelcome here." And I go, "You're the only one on this staff that greets anybody." And yeah, there's been weeks that we left and went to other churches and looked. He goes, "Well, start the ministry yourself." I said, "Well, I already have. I'm already meeting, greeting people." But To be the body of Christ and let someone walk into your church and sit down and nobody make them feel welcome. I'll never forget way back in the day. I met a guy when I was working at the post office, and he had lasted in a marriage, I think, 3 weeks, and his wife left him, and he was living with his mom. And I mean, he just looked like almost death. I really felt that he was about ready to kill himself or something. So I started talking to him, talked him into going to a church in the town he went to. And he goes, I walked in there. There were maybe, I don't know how many people, hundreds and hundreds of people sit down. When the service was over, I left, and not one person greeted me. I'll never go back to church. Because it goes back to what Robert said. What did Jesus say? Love one another. Love one another. I mean, again, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And yet the church isn't doing that real well. I talked to friends in England, and they said, we found the same thing. Three churches we went to, nobody welcomed us, nobody greeted us. And I'm like, wow, church, you're right. We've got to get back to doing what Jesus said, and that's loving one another. And loving one, if you're going to love somebody, you got to take time to be with them to love them. I mean, it's one thing to love them, but never show the love. You show them by getting involved in their life. What's going on? Why are you here today? Is there anything I can help you pray about? And it's amazing the doors that Jesus will open when we're obedient to loving one another. But it's like, wow, Lord, why are churches not doing that well? And then I meet guys who go to church and they're like, I go to church, I get up and leave. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm like, then why are you there? I mean, that's not the body of Christ, but there's some people who are still so comfortable with just going to church for no reason, but to hear a preacher or hear the music and get up and leave and not want to talk to anybody. And I'm thinking, man, that's not the body of Christ. That's not what a Christian does. We are to take time to build relationships. Jesus was all about relationships. Love the Lord thy God, love one another. I mean, it's all about relationships. So, we as members of the church have to start being a better role model of that, even where we're at, whether anybody else is doing it or not. And if we can reach one person by taking time to love them when they show up, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Definitely.
Hey Robert, yeah, I got to ask you a question. I think you've talked to us before about this, but what brought you back when you finally came back? What attracted you to stay at a church you swore you'd never go to?
Thought about it after you are.
I only because God told me that I should go. That's it. So, I sensed the Holy Spirit was with Jim, and that God was trying to lead me to the group, and that I should be obedient and face my fears and go and not worry about it.
Well, what did you find there, though, that made you want to come back every time?
Well, I'd never seen it before, so usually when you go to churches, they have a 10-point thing and they cover it. They give you the notes and they tell you to walk out, and that's the way it is. You don't actually connect with someone and talk about stuff. So that was, for me, we'll talk about that later, but you have to know how rare it is for me to talk about stuff. I don't talk much, but I'm learning to
Unless
socialize.
you come out of your shell, then you can't shut up.
That's the one thing I'll never forget, though. You said you really experienced love people in a group in church that you'd never seen before or experienced before.
Now, most churches pretty much oust me as soon as I speak up about something. So I'm pretty much okay. I'll just tell everybody I'm autistic, and I didn't know it till last week. So I have no filter. So I just tell what I
That's
think.
probably why I don't have a filter too.
So I didn't know I was autistic till last week, but I look at the stats and the numbers, because that's what I do, and I just spit it back out, and people don't even know how to take it. And the next thing you know,
You're so smart too, though.
I'm being ousted from the group for making a statement. I'm going, I don't even know what happened.
But it was
like
neat.
If someone's preaching on the Antichrist and you say, well, Jesus is all powerful, why are you talking about him? They get all mad.
And Justin, I'll never forget the first time in men's group, I think, that you confessed you didn't understand emotions, and yet you were filled with doubt, and it was so strange. You finally let somebody hug you, which was a challenge. And you didn't resist it. I mean, you didn't know what it, you did not know what it felt like to experience that. And the ministry allowed that to happen.
And it's things like that that I don't really think about until I reminisce or I hear a Bible story and I start thinking about, you know, how did Jesus approach a tax collector? He walked up to the tree and he said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come here. We're having dinner over your house." He knew his name. He knew what his past was, but he still included him in the group. Whereas most of my life, I mean, the people who were supposed to be there to guide me were the ones who led me down a dead-end road and then are like, "Hey, you failed. You're horrible. You're a bad person." It's like, you led me here. Like,
you taught me to go here.
How is this my fault? But okay, fine. I'm, yeah, sure. It's, but I mean, that was the way Jesus approached me was, "Hey, I know you. Look, I know everything about you. Do you want something better?" Well, yeah. I mean, and heck, that was it. That, just give me the offer and I'll take it. I mean, it's like even now, did I ever think I would be working at a prison? No, definitely not. Did I ever? I figured I would have lived there. But definitely not go there willingly every day. And honestly, it wasn't until last weekend that I was really thinking about it, being around my biological father for as long as I can remember. He's always called me dad, and I called him son. Never thought about it until last weekend. What are most men in prison lacking?
A dad,
a father figure. So in a way, in God's way, he showed me how to be a dad before I was a dad. He showed me how to be a dad when I was a teenager. He showed me how to be a dad and then feel emotions on how to be a good dad. And now,
make sure you reiterate that you're talking about God and not your dad. Right?
Yeah. I didn't say that.
They might be thinking.
Oh, I'm talking about God the Father.
Yeah.
Yes. Teaching me how to be. Yes, Abba, teaching me all these things and then bringing me into a position to where, yes, I have to be a little harsh sometimes. But isn't that the way he is with us? Whenever we're doing something, I mean, for the lack of a better word, stupid, and we know better, but we want to try it our way. And he's like, nope. You already know you ain't supposed to do that. So now I got to bust your bottom. Got to stick you in timeout. This isn't the way you do it. This is the way you do it. Okay, I'm sorry, Dad. And then gets us on the right track.
Yeah.
In a way, I kind of have to do that. I am a babysitter of adult men who against their will, but they don't know any better. Like, it's kind of baffling.
And we were there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Before. And we know exactly how that feels. Isn't it amazing how Abba will give us ministry fields that we live in and work in and thrive in and have been there before? So we know exactly how to deal with that kind of ministry field, but yet we're I don't want to say on top, but I want to be humble because that's what his example is. But we're now the ones that are showing the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we always thought we would be the ones on the bottom.
Well, I think that's kind of with maturity, age, wisdom. I mean, I'm beginning to realize just this past week there was two guys that were working late, working the same 12, 14 hours that I was working. And we started talking about age, and I'm looking at a couple of these guys, and they're the same age as me, but they look 20 years older. It's like, I'm the same age as y'all. Like, you do realize that. I'm not a 20-year-old, definitely not, but this could have just as easily been me here. Just as easily. So, whenever I'm giving advice or trying to correct bad behavior, it's not because I think I'm better than you. By no means. I should be wearing orange too. But, God.
Huh? Oh, it's what? Being recorded.
Sorry. That'll be a classic
blue. Hi, Mom.
Yeah, don't slap David. It's on camera.
Don't beat me. No! No!
You better watch out. She'll throw something at you.
You will.
But, I mean,
hey,
I never
I'll tell
thought
her there's there. Other signs on here. Hey. You too. It'll fly right through the screen.
I never imagined God would put me not only in a position to where, yes, I will benefit long term, because I mean I plan on being there for 30 years, so that kind of sets up a retirement for us, but also puts me in a position to where I can see how there are several prison ministries that I get to see how these people live. I'm not just up there for an hour or two. I see them every day. And yeah. Honestly, I can even say I am very disappointed with one in particular leader that professes to be a chaplain, and I'm like, no, I know the way a chaplain is supposed to be, and you are not even coming close. I'm not holding you to a high standard. I'm just holding you to what we're all supposed to live. And I'm not going to call you chaplain. Like, I'm not. You are just like me. I mean, I see no difference in the way he lives, the way I live, what he is trying to do versus I'm trying to do. But to see whenever somebody is in a position of authority and totes it around, like, instead of showing love, instead of living the way we're supposed to live, I mean, like, I expect more out of people who are in a leadership position, because now you're tending a flock. You're not just a sheep. Now you're a shepherd. and you are held to a higher standard, not my standard, but by the word of God, you are held by a higher standard.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't necessarily feel like I'm wrong for looking at people who are in leadership and expecting more out of them. And I know it's not something that's unattainable because I've seen Chaplin live it. I mean,
hey, Jeff, do you feel anything like Jesus on The Chosen when he's talking to the Pharisees?
No. Yeah, only there have been several times where I kind of wish I would have spoken up, but something, it could have been the Holy Spirit just protecting me, but I felt that firm, just keep your mouth shut. And yes, boss, I say that just like the inmates say it to me. I say it to Father God or the Holy Spirit. You know, you tell me no, yes, boss, that's what I'm going to do or not do.
So you're going in tomorrow. Hey, Nicodemus.
Ooh, I don't know.
No, you're not. You're not.
Well, if the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me no.
No, he's telling you no through me. No, you're not going to do that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. Well, the way I've always thought about it is if the shoe fits. Don't shoot the messenger. I mean,
help me out, Chaplain.
Be like Peter, wear your foot in your mouth all the time.
Yeah. Well, I do that often enough. But at least I got clean feet. My mouth ain't too clean, but
on to the next thing. What do you got, Chaplain?
Well, a couple of sentences down, he just says, what then? And we've kind of been talking about this, but we're going to look at his answer next week. What then is keeping Christianity from being that guide to life, which it alone can be? Christianity can only succeed as a guide for current humanity if it does two things. And two things are what we're going to talk about next week. So it's kind of like a good movie, stopping right where you want the answer. And they go, oh, come back next week and watch. We'll give you the answer.
And the next chilling conclusion.
There you go. So I know, Robert, you can go back and cut and splice and probably do all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm going to cut it off now.
Okay. Because, I got to share a story. I